Hey everyone, I'm excited to introduce to you the owner of NC Fit Iron Strong Athletics, located in North Brunswick, which is in New Jersey, which is the CrossFit gym that I join actually. It's an awesome community, and just wanted to say thank you for just creating an awesome space where I get to hustle, work hard, get a good workout in, and just always a pleasure, especially during the pandemic when you know, we're a bit more isolated than we usually are. It's always a treat to be with that community, with the community that you've created.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of people with the gym, those 1 hour fitness classes. Part of it's just a social aspect, just getting out, talking to other people, working through a tough workout together. It's definitely with the pandemic, it's been good to get a little social interaction when it hasn't been the norm.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? And like, I know we talked about this together. It's certainly been a challenging last couple of years for you because of the pandemic. And, but it sounds like you know, you're making it work. And that's sort of what it's like being an entrepreneur, right? Just a lot of ups and downs in general.
Yeah, I would say I'm an aggressive optimist. It's definitely been a hard couple of years, but you know, you just got to deal with it as it comes. When it first started, when they were like, 2 weeks, we got to close, I was freaking out. I was like, we can't close for 2 weeks. That's too long. I had no idea it would be like this. It's insane. But we made it through, you know, when the pandemic first happened, we closed for a couple months and then we're like, we got to get people moving again. So we did virtual for a couple months, less than ideal, but you know, we made it happen. And then we did outdoor fitness for a few months, working out in the sun. It wasn't great, but it was better than the Zoom. And then towards the fall, we were back in with restrictions, but you know, you just got to take it 1 month at a time and make it work. But it definitely was scary as an entrepreneur when you had a bunch of savings for emergencies. You just didn't expect the emergency to happen like that.
So it sounds like you did a burn to some of your emergency savings for the business.
Oh yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of entrepreneurs. I know, at least we got a little help from like, the payroll protection program and stuff like that. But I mean, it might've covered maybe 3 months of payroll, but I mean, every bill we had was due every month. No one delayed bills or gave you a break. So it was definitely, challenging. We were lucky. It'll be 9 years in March. So we've been around for a really long time. So we have a core base of members that were amazing. A lot of people paid through the pandemic with our limited services, and we were really appreciative of that. And also a lot of people they had to stop coming in because, you know, if they were bartender or service industry, they were totally done. So it was saw a lot of people fall in some hard times, but I can definitely see it's swinging back in the other direction. There's a huge demand for fitness, especially people who maybe haven't been taking care of themselves lately or the past couple of years, or maybe fitness and health is a new focus for them after seeing, oh man, this virus is affecting people and with poor health conditions. Maybe I should work on my personal health, maybe, you know. And so as far as demand, we see it back. Everyone's still a little nervous. So we think in the spring, summer, we're going to see a huge influx.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the winter in general, there's some folks that hibernate.
Thanks even to Christmas, no one's really coming out to start fitness. Yeah. That's kind of a tough time frame.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? And it's one of those industries that it also depends on like, it fluctuates depending on what's going on in the world. And I'm sure with anything, there's trends and fads that come and go as well, right? But it does seem like the CrossFit community in general tends to be pretty diehard, and I don't see that going away like ever, actually.
Yeah, CrossFit and strength and conditioning gyms and small group fitness, it really got big around like 2010, 2012, when it started to really take off. I opened in 2013, so I came in at a good time. But going to the normal gym by yourself with headphones in, kind of everyone's judging each other. It may not be a friendly atmosphere for some people. It can be, that can be really intimidating. And then also when you get there, what's your plan for that day? What's your plan for the week? What's your plan for the month? It's so going to a gym where you have coaches that care about it. Also, in most gyms like ours, all the coaches do the workouts we have the clients do. So we really believe in the training. We don't just tell you to do one thing and then we have our own special program on the side. We do everything. You'll see coaches working out in classes when they're off. So we really try to enforce that, at least in our gym. I mean, every gym like ours is individually owned and operated. So we can get into more of the entrepreneurship side. It's not a franchise, it's an affiliation. So we were with CrossFit for about 6 years and then we branched off and now we're with NC Fit, which is Jason Khalifa is one of the big CrossFit Games competitors. So he started his own strength and conditioning program, kind of taking what CrossFit did and making it a little more regimented, making it a little more focused in, like at our gym, we do 8 to 10 week cycles where we'll be focusing on certain things to make progress. And we're always testing and going off your previous numbers. So it's not just random workouts every day. But I will say when CrossFit, it's probably made more entrepreneurs than any other business I can think of. At one point, I know they had over maybe 15,000 affiliates. Wow. And for me to give me an opportunity to have my own business where I decide how I run it, how much I charge, what I do, everyone has to be certified. But as far as day to day and what you do in your gym, it's totally up to you. So the freedom was great. It's almost like you're able to affiliate with the brand, but still make it your own. So the big drawback I hear is a lot of people are like, oh, well, that type of training is, it's dangerous or it's intimidating. And at some gyms, it is. I've been to some gyms where it's a little more like military, you know, shirts off, yelling and screaming. For some people, they love that. That might be their style. But and then at some gyms, it's the most well thought out training with coaches that really care about your form and technique. So a lot of people talk about CrossFit and these type of gyms in general as a monolith. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It's totally individualized as far as how they're run. But it has really given a really good platform for people to get some real strength and conditioning training and expose people to strength training they might not do on their own. So it's been great.
That's a good point. Just reflecting on my fitness journey, I was a runner in high school, right? So the typical cross country track, winter track. And I've done so many different classes. Like in New York City, there's like every block, there's like at least 10 gyms, right? Yep. So I was fortunate enough and I joined something called Class Pass, which allowed me to literally test out like new gyms every day. So I think I went to like 120 different gyms in New York. So I was lucky enough to be able to experience.
That's a good sample.
Yeah. But I do think like even going to 5 different CrossFit gyms in New York City, I do think, like you said, CrossFit was I like versatility as you can tell, just because I like trying different things. So it is the only community where I actually stuck it through and have done it as long as I have. Usually when I'll try like yoga, I'll do it for like a little bit and then I'll do Pilates. Yeah. I'll try different things, but CrossFit's the one thing because every day is different. For people who appreciate that variety, it does allow you to, you never get bored because you can never truly master it, you know?
Yeah. And I will say with, when it comes to fitness, there's a million different ways to get fit. You could get fit running in the park, doing bodyweight exercises. You could do cycling, Zumba. There's a million different ways to get fit. I always tell people the best fitness program is the one you can stick to. Because you could be on the best program ever, but if you do it for 2 weeks and then quit, you're not going to get to your goals. So I tell people that I never bash other forms of fitness. They're all challenging in their own way. Like I have a Peloton, I do that and I get crushed by it all the time. It's not like getting on the barbell and doing back squats. It's a totally different challenge. I've done yoga with Coach Nora at our gym and I'm terrible at it. It's not hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I appreciate other forms of fitness. I always tell people you got to find something that you enjoy and you can stick to. That's the biggest thing, is consistency is in everything.
Yeah, I think CrossFitters tend to be folks that enjoy the variety, tends to enjoy like going not 100%, like, hey, what are we going to do today, right? There's always going to be some variations. Even like you said, even with the 12-week, 10-week programs, it's still different, right? It's not like you're doing the same thing. So I really appreciate that.
Definitely. The gym's been awesome. And I don't know, I'd like to think it's me influencing the culture in the gym, but I've met so many amazing people in the gym. I like to think we attract a certain type of person, but I mean, you've been to the gym, all the members are friendly. They're all super outgoing. It's been great building that community.
Yeah. And I remember when you first reached out, when I filled out the form on the website, you're like so enthusiastic. You're like, yeah, like what, you know, it was awesome. Cause like, it was clear that you were interested in what my goals and stuff like that. Like not every gym takes the time to really like sit down and like really understand like, hey, like what are you into and stuff like that. Sometimes, like you said, a lot of gyms, like when I did the traditional gym route, you know, going to like Retro or Planet or, you know, Lifetime or any of these, like, it's very much like, I think the old school mentality was like, yeah, you lift a bunch of weights and then sometimes you hit the treadmill and like that was considered fit. But as you know, like that doesn't necessarily mean you're fit, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. The fitness is definitely different for a lot of people. I lost my train of thought.
One of the things I appreciate about watching the CrossFit games is it's crazy because you'll have people like swimming and then they're running and then they're like, it's just crazy because every CrossFit game is so different and there's no other sport where it's just, you just don't know what to expect, right?
Yes. It's also, I always liked it a lot because I mean, my background was, I was a wrestler, so it was weight classes. And I like about the CrossFit games, there's no weight classes. They program it. So if you're a big, huge guy who can lift a lot of weights, that's great for those events. But when you have to run a 5K, you're in trouble. So I like how they program it. So there's no one body type that really works. You have to be kind of pretty good at everything. So that's what CrossFit and in general fitness is. That's what we do at our gym is, we want you to be generally fit, which for most people, as far as working on their health, working on all their weaknesses is the way to go. Like I have, all the members have their own, you know, like I have one guy can lift a lot of weights, but he can't do a single pull-up. So that's one of his huge goals. And then I have other people like this girl can do a ton of pull-ups, but she wants to be able to, you know, squat her body weight or so everyone, it kind of forces everyone to look at what their weaknesses are. Work on that. And I tell people when they go to the normal gym, I used to do it too. You go in the normal gym, you're like, all right, I'll do some curls. You do the stuff you like.
Yeah.
And you ignore the stuff you're bad at. Yeah. No one wants to do the stuff they're bad at, but it's probably what you need the most.
That's so true. Yeah. Like even today when we did the tuck ups and the V ups, I knew I'm horrible at that. So like you said, if I went to the gym with myself, like I would never do it. Right. So then I would just do what I'm like, which is like bench and like push-ups and pull-ups. And then at the end of the day, like that means like I'll have strong, like certain parts, but then there's certain areas like my mobility is going to suck because I'm never going to want to focus on mobility on my own. So
yes, that's one of our goals is kind of just getting people to work on the weaknesses. Also, it forces you to push yourself because when it comes to fitness, no matter what fitness you're doing, If it's easy and comfortable, it's not doing much for you. It has to be a little uncomfortable. It's got to be a little challenging. Yeah. You got to do a little more than last time. So it's always it's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be walking around fit and we wouldn't have a huge issue in the US with health, obesity, other health related issues due to that. So it's challenging.
Yeah. And I appreciate the, it's just interesting because you can also scale it too, right? So it's also at your own pace. So like, I would say like your gym is definitely a bit more like well-versed, whereas like I've been to some gyms where it's so intimidating because they're all like collegiate athletes or ex-collegiate athletes, or like they used to compete like professionally. And then you're just like, dude, like I can't even like come close to everyone else. Right. So I do appreciate that there's such a big variety of folks.
Yeah. It's really scary for a lot of people when they first walk in. I do my best to make sure especially when new people come in, I always tell them like, hey, if anything's uncomfortable, if anything hurts or doesn't feel right, let me know. I'd rather modify it and make sure you get a good workout in and stay healthy. I have tons of people that, hey, I had a knee surgery years ago. It still bothers me. So I've been doing it so long, I don't mind modifying stuff and making it work for people. That's kind of the fun challenge of it, is to modify it, make it work. I mean, I've trained all different types of people. For a couple of years, I had this guy, Tom, who, he was in a wheelchair and he came into the gym and he asked if I was comfortable training him. And I was honest with him. I'm like, I don't have a lot of experience, but I'll give it a shot if you want to, let's do it. So I was psyched and, he stayed for 2 years and man, we got him strong. He could do pull-ups. He could do a bunch. It was amazing. Also, other people in the gym looked at him and go, oh man, I got no excuses. What am I doing?
That's true.
Oh, what I was going to say is what you brought up earlier is when we talk about the entrepreneurship aspect, if someone's going to start a business, you never want to start a business as, all right, this makes a lot of money, I'm going to go into this business because it's a good, it'll make good profits. You need to be really genuine and passionate because people can see through that right away. Yeah. Maybe even if you're trying to get investors to your business, if you don't believe in your product, there's no way you're going to get people to hop on board and put their financial interest in it. For me, I've been doing it at opening my gym. It's been, it'll be 9 years in March. When I have an intro on a Saturday afternoon and it's their first time working out at this type of gym, I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm stoked. If someone's never tried, you know, maybe a banded pull-up or they've never touched a barbell ever, I'm stoked to teach them and they can tell I'm excited about it. I'm not just doing it because I'm getting paid by the hour. It's because I'm genuinely want them to get better. Yeah. So, you gotta be really passionate. And if you're passionate, you're going to want to be knowledgeable. You're going to keep improving your knowledge base and what are the newest, techniques? What are the new information out there? So I'm always looking at what's the new thing. Cause you got to adapt. Like fitness, you're right, it comes and goes with different things. So you gotta keep it relevant for sure.
Yeah, it just reminded me of reflecting on even just doing a lot of the CrossFit exercises with you. I was able to do a lot more of the obstacles on during the Spartan races, where I knew before I did CrossFit, like I wouldn't have been able to do most of them. So it's just cool to see the gradual change and the strength. And, you know, it's sometimes because we're in it, sometimes we forget like how much stronger we are than when we first started. Right. Cause then we're so used to how we are now, but then looking back at it, I'm like, oh no, like compared to when I first started CrossFit, like I'm way stronger, you know?
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's in a different step in their fitness journey. So I always tell people they might look at someone else and be like, oh man, I'm not that strong. I got to get better at this, get better at that. But whenever there's a new person in the gym, they look at them and go, oh my God, they're amazing. They can do box jumps. They can do this. So everyone's always looking up to different people. So I always tell people, don't get stressed out about what you can't do. As long as you're striving to improve every day, you'll be good.
Yeah. That's a good point. Right. And it's cool too, because everyone's at like, is good at certain different things. So like, you know, I might be good at box jumps, but you know, I really struggle with getting a lot of weight, right? Cause I'm like a small dude, right? So like the goal would just be able to go up in weight every month, right?
Yeah.
So it is one of those things that you can truly never master. And that's what makes it beautiful. Cause I think as humans, we always want to improve and grow. And when we don't do that, then I feel like we're not as fulfilled. And CrossFit is one of those things that you're never going to be truly like 100% there. It'll take forever to get to that point.
Yeah, that's why it's not like an end goal. It's more about just, you know, when you put in hard work, it's, you know, it might suck during it. You might be out of breath and tired, but when you leave the gym, you always feel great about yourself. You're always like, oh, I got in a hard workout, or, you know, I really pushed myself that day. So
yeah,
people always talk about just the physical aspect, you know, losing weight, getting, you know, gaining more muscle, but mentally it's huge. I know a lot of people that come to the gym and they, you know, they got three kids, they got a job, they're stressed out. This is their one outlet where it's 1 hour for me, where I focus on myself. So it's huge for people's mental health, sleep, everything.
Mm. Yeah, so true. Like, I sleep so much better when I go, right? Versus days I don't. I'm not in a good mindset. Like, I'm like moodier. Like, if I don't go, it definitely makes a big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would love to dig a little bit. One of the reasons why I wanted you on the podcast is because a lot of my friends want to start their own business one day, or they aspire to be an entrepreneur. And they always ask, like, how do you even start? Like, they're like, I don't even know where to start. Like, there's so many things out there, and I don't know, like, especially people that are comfortable with that 9-to-5, like, they're just like, I have like a really cushy job right now.
Yeah. And what if you fail? It's scary. You know, there's a lot of, it's a lot of risk, but, that's kind of part of the challenge of it. I think, for me, I remember when my business, the first thing that started it was, me and my buddy, we were both doing CrossFit. We were both enjoying it a lot. I was starting to train people down there, so I was already kind of coaching. And my buddy was getting out of the military, and we were having a conversation on Facebook, and we were like, oh man, what if we could start our own gym and do that? It all started with just a simple conversation on Facebook. And then we're like, maybe we can actually do this. So we started to think, all right, what would it take? And I think for people who are kind of thinking about it, or, you know, maybe if they do or don't, at least write it out. Like, what would it actually take? Have you looked up the type of space you'll need? Have you looked up the rentals in the area? Just write out a simple business plan. I had a notebook. It wasn't a fancy business plan. I just had a notebook and wrote out, you know, financials, equipment. I just gave everything I could think of, I wrote on paper. And just got a general idea of how much it would cost. Of course, I was wrong at the time, but it was more expensive than I thought. Oh, but yeah, at least you got to figure it out. And then once you get it written down, just a rough draft, you can at least figure out, okay, what are some actionable steps I can actually make to make this happen? What's a time frame? I think from a lot of people with the entrepreneurship thing, it's so overwhelming to think of the whole thing at once. It's like, it kind of freezes people. They kind of stall out on it. So I think just taking it, for us, we had a business plan for 6 months before we even bought anything. So we talked about it for a long time before we actually put it into action. And we started with zero members. But we kind of figured out, you know, when we first opened, one thing I want to say with people who are thinking of a business, a lot of people I talk to, especially ones who want to open a gym, they're like, okay, I need, you know, a 10,000 square foot space. I need fancy treadmills. I need all these assault bikes and dumbbells. A lot of people overestimate, you don't need everything at once. I always tell people, start really small. We were in the space we were in when we opened, but we only started with two squat racks and two rowers and like some jump ropes and some barbells. We didn't have any dumbbells. We didn't have any bikes. We didn't have a lot of stuff, but we just started small and kind of built in from there. And I think that really helped in the beginning to not spend too much money at once, buying everything you need up front, only buy the essentials and build up from there. That was really helpful.
That's good advice. Yeah. Starting small. I think, like you said, most people get paralyzed at thinking too big, but if you break it into actionable steps, then it makes it so much easier, right? Yeah, it sounds like similar with nutrition or health, right? Or you know, it's most people wouldn't run a marathon like tomorrow, right? But it's like, let me run a 5K and then 8K, then 10K, and then it makes it a lot easier.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. That's good advice. And in terms of like just figuring out like what's the price point, what's the membership, like how do you, what's the thought behind that? Like when you do the business plan, you flesh all that out. Like, do you do market research and like Google and stuff like that?
We should have done market research. I was 24 when we opened the business. I'm 34 now. So, I was, definitely a little naive at first. We were young, but luckily we happened to pick a good place with a good location and a good demographic. And it ended up working out that way, but we did write out how many members do we need to not lose money? How many members do we need to just break even? So we're not, so I'm not writing personal checks for my apartment and the business at the same time. That was kind of step one. How do we just cover the expenses? And then after a year in, 2 years in, we're like, okay, now we're covering the expenses. I was probably working 50 hours a week. I wasn't paying myself by the hour. That was just, I was paying myself enough to pay bills, but it was definitely super tight the first 2 years. I think with any business, the first two years, don't expect to make a whole bunch of money or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so we got a rough idea of how many members we needed to break even and then kind of built it from there. If I could go back, I would have factored in some more things, I would have looked at maybe a little more big picture of how much do I eventually want to pay myself? Maybe I do personal training to make up some of that money. So it's not coming out of the general membership. I know one thing we talked about, one of the big mistakes I made was, thinking I could do the accounting by myself. And that ended up, being pretty costly, especially with, you think taxes are easy, but business taxes are a whole different story. So after 2 years, we finally got an accountant, sorted everything out, and it's worth every penny. You know, I pay a few hundred dollars a month and takes care of everything. So my recommendation to a lot of people is whatever you don't have to hire out, whatever you can learn on your own, do it. I cleaned my own gym for the first 2 years. I didn't hire a cleaner. I could just do it myself. But when it came to some of the more technical things, I would suggest if you're not an expert, hire someone who is, or hire someone to teach you how to do it. I probably would have took a mentor earlier on. I would have found more value in that to guide me a little bit. But also, I think I would have reached out to local gyms that were the same type of business as me. I think it would have been nice to network a little bit. Gyms are a little different because it's a little... some gym owners get nervous, like, oh, they're going to take my clients, or, you know what I mean? Some people get a little nervous about that, but I would have tried to network more in the beginning. When in reality, I think, especially for fitness, I don't view it as a scarcity mentality. Like, oh, there's only this amount of people that want to work out. The fact is 80% of people do nothing, don't work out at all. Yeah. Most people don't work out. I'm like, there's a whole bunch of people that need to get into fitness. So, there's plenty of opportunity out there. So I don't mind talking to, I'm really good friends, with a few of the other local owners, more in like, Metuchen and some other areas. And, it's great to talk about general practices and bounce ideas off of each other. It was, really helpful.
Oh yeah. That just reminds me, I got to connect you with someone. One of my sister goes to King's Fitness. Like, this is like up in North Jersey.
Yeah.
Right. And I go hiking with them all the time. So I actually know like one of the, I do the Spartan races with one of the guys that, one of the coaches and one of the owners, I think he's like the GM for it, but yeah, awesome. I'll connect you guys. He's super passionate too. I think you guys are like, you guys find nerd out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever, when me and my wife are out somewhere or we're at a, you know, a party or something. If there's another guy into fitness, I'm just chatting with him the whole time. I get along with anybody into working out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's one of those, like you said, right? Like, I think the scarcity mindset's a good takeaway as well. Right. Cause at the end of the day, there's millions of people, especially in New Jersey, right? There's so many people. And yes, there's a lot of gyms, but the reality is, like, there's plenty of people out there that need the support, right?
And oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think networking is one of those things. I've been fortunate enough that I guess I just focused on it a lot in my life, and it's really helped me out. But it's like one of those things that people don't even teach you in high school and stuff like that, really, right?
No,
it's
not at all.
And it's so important.
And you think with business, you want to, you know, you want to see who's doing it right. And you want to, you know, not take exactly what they're doing, but look at the best practices and try to model or emulate what the best practices are, for sure. I take advice all the time from other owners who are doing really well.
Yeah, I remember it was really cool. One of the, I think, Solace in New York City, they had like showdowns where they would have like the two most in shape, like the fittest people.
Oh, cool.
In the nice. Gym. And then it would just be crazy. It was during the games, right? And it was nuts. Like there'd be music blaring, and then there'd be like, you know, 50 to like 60 people. And then it was like crazy. And then people were cheering for each other and like talking smack. Like I was like, man, like this is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's fun. We do a big thing with the, with like the CrossFit Open. We do the in-house workouts and everything. We make it a big thing. We put the members on four different teams, and it's more participation based than performance, but we do announce the top five from each age division. So I know like that's really fun for some of the older members, like the 40 to 44 year olds. They're like, oh, there's seven other guys in the gym who are my age. Yeah. So they have fun competing against them in a friendly way. Most people haven't competed since high school. So it's a fun way to tap into that a little bit.
Yeah. And the Rovember was pretty cool too. Cause you know, some people got like really into that, and then you did that. What was it like 500? Was it 1,000 step ups or something like that?
Oh
like,
yeah. We did that, hero workout.
Chat. Oh my God, dude, that wrecked me for days.
Yeah. That was a fun one. We did that as a cool group. Yeah. I think the group fitness is so motivating. I love it. Cause, like you've been in the gym, there'll be, and also it doesn't matter. It's one of the only places where it doesn't matter what you do as a job, doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, you'll be next to a guy who's 55 years old, and then next to a girl who's 26 and a mom who's 41, you're all using different weights according to your ability, but you're all pushing just as hard. So that, that group fitness is motivating, because when you're taking a break and you look over at someone else working hard, you're like, all right, I can pick it up. I can do another set. So it's a great way to push people. I love it.
Well, and to your point, like if you're going to the gym, like by yourself, right? Like you don't have like a Joe or Erica or Jordan, like grilling, like staring at you, like, bro, like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, coaches are important in, whether it's business or fitness or nutrition. There's, you know, it's a huge benefit having a coach helping you out, whether it's technique or even if it's just accountability. Keeping you on top of stuff.
Yeah. The accountability and even like small things, like a lot of the coaches will like when I enter my results into Wattify and then like, I get all these likes, like it's nice. It's like, oh wow. Like they actually check this. This is crazy. You know,
like also with the coaches, at least at our gym, all our coaches know all the members. Like we know everyone's name. And when I coach, I remember everyone's like, when I see someone 2 weeks later, I'll remember, oh, they were working on this. I go, hey, how's that been going? How's the, you know, how have your pull-up progressions been going? Or I'm just like, oh, that was definitely heavier than last week. Or so we keep track of people's progress. And I think members take a notice of that, like, oh, my coach is actually paying attention on if I'm getting better. And also I know I'll walk around the gym before a weightlifting and I'll go, all right, you're going too heavy, drop 10 pounds. You're going way too light, add 10 pounds. So I already know right away who needs to go a little heavier, who needs to go a little lighter. I always enjoy it. That's the one thing about the entrepreneurship. If you're passionate about it, I love going to work. I got no issues. Like if one of my trainers is sick, I'll coach 5 a.m., 6 a.m. I don't care. I love going in. Or if someone's like, oh, you've been here all day. I'm like, all day I wear gym clothes. This is the dream. This is awesome.
Yeah, there's something unique about freedom, like the autonomy and the freedom, knowing that like you eat what you kill, right? I mean, that's very like exaggerated, like, right? But it's cool, like, to know that, like, hey, you're responsible for like your own destiny, right? And
it's, yeah, it's, and I think also cool, it's that. Like, you know, if I have to put in extra hours, or like, you know, we, a few months ago, our sub pump broke. So the bathroom was, I had to get a call a plumber. And I don't, whenever I have to do extra work, it's investing in myself. It's investing in the brand. And it's also investing in all the relationships I built in the gym. So it, for me, it's a totally different perspective as far as, you know, working extra or having a, you know, I have busy weeks, I have slow weeks. But yeah, you're right. Man, it's so foreign to me when it comes to just getting a paycheck every week. I've been deciding what to pay myself every year since I opened. Some years it's not much, some years it's good. And being able to decide how much you're investing in yourself, how much you're going to put in the business, it's super rewarding. It's great. I love it. And our trainers, we take really good care of our trainers, because any of the entrepreneurs out there, you need to, it's really, people always say the hardest thing is to find good staff. It's the hardest thing. And I'd rather keep great staff than have to hire new ones. So we try to treat our trainers well. We get them, you know, Christmas gifts and bonuses, and we pay them really well. We take them out to, you know, we took them out to brunch the other week. That was super fun. Usually once a year, we take them to a really fancy dinner, and obviously we cover everything. So we try to make the trainers really know, like, this doesn't work without them. I can't do it all. So if you have a good staff at your business, you have to treat them well. And I mean, I've heard horror stories, specifically CrossFit gyms. Someone's not treating their head trainer very well, and he ends up, you know, moving down the street and opening up his own gym. And he takes all the clients because they're used to him being the head coach. So when it comes to being an entrepreneur, I think it's good to make yourself indispensable. Like, you need to be an integral part of the business. I think one thing I was going to say is, when it comes to the business, like, you know, I balance the budget. I coach a certain amount of classes. I could coach less if I wanted to, but I enjoy coaching. It's really fun for me. So I don't mind, but I always tell people you should never be too good to do any of the tasks at your job. Like, if the trash needs to be taken out, I'm not going to tell someone else to do it. I'm just going to do it myself. Or if I need to clean the floor extra, especially with COVID, we're doing more cleaning. I don't mind doing it myself. So I think all the entrepreneurs should really take really good care of their staff, and also plan on developing them over time. One thing I had to learn is when you hire someone, you have to train them to be good at that role. You don't just hire someone and expect them to be, you know, perfect. That's why with that NC Fit affiliation, every one of my trainers has an app on their phone that tells them the detailed lesson plan for the day, the stimulus behind the workout, tips for coaching. So every coach has a full detailed review of the class that day on how to coach it, how to be better. So I think if you do have staff, you got to work on improving them. You're supposed to be a leader as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's good advice. Like, really, like, training, taking care of your people. And then what you said, yeah, I remember there was a coach that I really liked at Solace. And then, I don't know, because of politics or whatever, they brought someone new in, but I followed her to go to Brick, actually. Cause I really like, she was like very hands-on and just like really personable. And it really does make a difference, like having like a good coach, right? Yeah, really good advice.
Well, yeah, that guy, I forget his name, but I read a whole article about the guy who owns the Brick CrossFits. He has bunch of them in every major city.
Yeah, it's a great, Brick was also pretty solid. Like, it was like similar to you guys. Like, it was more like personable. Like, you really feel like, I mean, I'm not going to bash, like, but there's certain gyms that like, it seemed like sometimes superficial, right? It was like,
yeah,
there's these coaches that are like, you're supposed to like they're like on a pedestal, and then there's like all of us, right? And it felt like, at least with Brick, like it was like more equal, you know, like it was very like, and then you can, every culture, every box has a different culture, and Brick's culture was more like everyone was extremely personable, like they were like super nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
It made a big difference.
No, that's a big big pet peeve of mine is I've seen owners and coaches who act like they're, you know, act like they're above it all and they're on a pedestal, or they, you know, no one likes a know-it-all, and it never comes off the right way either. You gotta know what your strengths are. And then, if I don't know something, I'm not going to pretend like I do. I'll get an answer for them. Or if someone asks me about their shoulder, I'll usually say, you should probably get checked out by your doctor. I'm not going to be able to tell what's going on with, you know, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you what to do with that. So yeah, I've seen that thing, and it never goes over too well.
Yeah. And it's interesting how each of these boxes have different cultures too, right? Like there's certain ones that are like, I would say like the very, very competitive ones that it's like, it's hardcore, right? And it's like, it invites a certain type of people that are like the super hardcore ones, you know? And then there's like certain ones that are like more like, okay, like we're going to be, it's a little bit more beginner or more family friendly, or, you know, you have like more moms and parents and stuff like that. Right. So it's just interesting to see how, even though it's like sometimes the same like activities, like each box has like completely different like demographics.
Yeah. Our box demographic, I mean, we have a really interesting mix of people. I mean, we have younger college students. We have people in their, you know, in their 50s, a few in their 60s. And then we have a whole bunch of people, 30s, 40s, like young professionals, or, you know, a lot of moms. It's a fun mix. I think it's great. I think, at least with our gym, we try to be as welcoming as possible, because everyone knows what it's like to walk into the new gym and go, oh my God, it's really intimidating. So we try to make everyone feel welcome. We just had a new girl join this week, and she was, she told me she was the best thing for me. And my members do this automatically. She was brand new in the gym, and when she took a spot to get set up, I had to go do something. Two of my members were saying, hey, what's your name? Is it your first time in? You're going to love this place. So I had two members making her feel comfortable, making her feel welcome. It's not like everyone has a clique and they're judging people. So just having welcoming members helps me out. It's makes everyone feel comfortable, because even if it's a good workout program, if you don't feel comfortable at your gym, you're not going to want to come in.
Yeah. And I noticed you guys you're probably the most diverse gym I've ever seen. Like, definitely very diverse, right? It's
so people have told me about that. I mean, yeah, we have every, you know, race, religion, anything you could think of. And I don't do anything special to force that. I just, anyone who wants to work out, we make them all feel welcome. So I'd like to think we just have a good welcoming culture that makes that happen.
Yeah, I mean, not to generalize too much, right? But I think when you think of like CrossFit, typically it's like wealthier white, like, you know, people that typically is the demographic. Yeah, that's why,
as far as the generalization, you're not wrong. That's definitely some of the gyms, depending where they're at in the U.S. too. It depends,
right? But CrossFit in general, I feel like it tends to, most people generalize, like it's like you have to be somewhat wealthy to be able to like afford it, right? But I do think you guys are definitely the most diverse out of all the ones I've been to, and I've been to like maybe 8 or 9 different ones.
In
my lifetime. So
yeah, I mean, also we have our coaching staff is, you know, we have a good mix of men, women, different ages. We have a good mix of coaching too. That probably makes people feel comfortable. I think, a lot of people too is, probably the biggest thing I see is people go, oh my God, it's expensive. And in the context of a $10 Planet Fitness, it's expensive compared to that. But that's why we always give people 3 classes to try out, just so they can see the value before they make a decision. Mm-hmm. But our gym, whether you're coming, you know, it's twice a week, 3 times a week, unlimited, usually it's anywhere from $130 to $160 a month, which may seem expensive. But if you were to pay a personal trainer, that'd be like 2 sessions or 3 sessions.
Yeah.
So unlimited training for the whole month. And also a lot of people who are unsure about the price, I see some people do that. And then on the weekend, they're at the bar, or they're at the, you know, they're spending $200, $300 a weekend, or they're buying a lot of stuff they may not need. But you got to view it as you're investing in yourself. And also, even with the higher price point, the one thing I'll say is 95% of my members come in every single week. We have a really high retention rate and attendance rate. And if you're spending money, you got to use the service. You got to come in. And use it. We also don't do contracts. So we're not one of those gyms who, you're locked in for a year. We do all months a month. So if you're not using the service or you don't find value in it, you're welcome to cancel. There's no big cancellation fee or anything like that. We let people put their membership on hold if they're going on vacation. So even if it's more expensive, if you're going to be gone for 2 weeks, you can freeze your account. So we, we're pretty flexible when it comes to that.
Yeah. And sometimes like you said, because you're getting so much value out of it, like let's say I am traveling a lot that month and I've only done maybe five, right? Out of maybe compared to my normal, like 16, like a month, right? Because I'm getting a lot of value and ultimately like I want to support the community. Like I'm not going to like go through the trouble of like, oh, let me pause it for 2 weeks or whatever. Right. So
it's, yeah, I think that, that really helps too. I mean, when people come to our gym and they're loving it, they know if you're supporting a small business that's privately owned, we're not a corporation, you know, the owners, it's me and my wife, Danielle, you know, all our coaches, we employ our coaches, you know, all the coaches, you love what they do. So, yeah, it definitely feels better when you're supporting a small business that you find you get a good value out of. And trust me, all the time, I'm always asking members how we can improve. When someone asks to leave, I always try to get feedback on how we could have done better. For most people, it depends. Usually, I'll tell you what, during the pandemic, I think we had 30 members sell their house and move south. had a lot of people just sell their house and move. Huh. And the other big block in the pandemic was everyone working from home. I was surprised. We had a lot of members who, they don't exactly live close. They just work in New Brunswick or East Brunswick, and they would hit the gym on the way home. So we had a lot of people who they're just not in the area anymore, just due to work from home. So that definitely affected us too.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Joe. This has been an awesome podcast, like a lot of lessons in entrepreneurship, fitness, just a really big takeaway is, like you said, people think it's expensive to pay $160, for instance, but how much are we spending? Like how much are we spending on going to the doctors and things by not taking care of ourselves, right? So it's like more long-term thinking versus just like, oh, okay, I'm just looking at the 160. It's like, well, what about like overall?
Yeah, and I mean, as far as monthly expenses, if you're improving your quality of life, if you feel better about yourself, you feel better in your own skin, and your mental health is going to be great. And long-term health it's huge. It's we've been open long enough where I've seen members really make some amazing transformations. It's super inspiring. It's awesome to be around. So I recommend entrepreneurs go for it, write out a plan, make it happen. Once you do it, you'll never regret it. And anyone who's not doing a fitness program, I recommend trying out your local gyms. Give it a shot. The small group training is a lot of fun, and you might love it.
Yeah, and I'll also add that just because we're getting into the habit of going regularly and just the discipline of getting better every day, I think it affects all areas of life as well, right? Like, you're more likely to get promoted at work because you have like a consistent habits and healthy routines, and you'll feel better. Like I said, so you're more confident. So then you'll be able to just believe in yourself that you can do things, and it affects you more than just physically, like you said.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, I have a lot of members who they work for a corporation or their health insurance. You'd be surprised. A lot of these health insurance companies will give you money back for attending a gym a certain amount of times a month. I send out attendance reports to insurance companies all the time. Corporations are recognizing their employees that work out and take care of their own health, they're more productive people in general. Yeah. So it's definitely big for that.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, thank you so much. I'll include your contact information, your website, your email address. And if people want to reach out to you, how would you recommend them reaching out to you?
Oh, they can reach out to us on our website, ncfitironstrong.com, or they could just reach out on Instagram, ncfitironstrongathletics. We have free sessions every Saturday. It's a fun intro session every Saturday at 10:30 in the morning. But it's been great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Take care.
See you later.